This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Friday edition of Game Misconduct. I am Don LaGreca. We do have breaking news. I'm taping this at 2:05 Eastern Time that John Davidson has resigned as president of the Columbus Blue Jackets. No surprise. So the second no surprise will be, I would think, at some point, probably early next week, John Davidson will be announced the new president of the New York Rangers. That had been the rumor forever. There was some possibility that maybe because Columbus had won and maybe because Columbus had made the run that they made, that maybe he might be coerced into staying. But it just seemed like a foregone conclusion the second that Glenn Sather had stepped down at the end of the regular season that John Davidson was going to be the guy. So congratulations to him. It'll be good to see John Davidson around the garden more often than just seeing him when the Rangers took on the Columbus Blue Jackets. So I'm not really sure exactly what direction this will change the direction of the Rangers at all. Jim Schoenfeld stepped down as assistant general manager. That was also to be expected because he was the right-hand man of Glenn Sather. This, I think, ushers in the era of Sather era being over, and now Chris Drury being the assistant to Jeff Gorton, and now John Davidson would be able to oversee all of that. So I don't think the Rangers will change much direction. They got the second overall pick. I think the plan was cemented last February when they sent out the letter to season ticket holders, and I don't think that path is going to be changed. I think John will be on board with that, and as a trio, move forward into a new era of Rangers hockey, and it'll start with having the second overall pick coming up in the draft as soon as the Stanley Cup is awarded. So you got that to look forward to if you are a Ranger fan, as John Davidson looks like he will be the new president. We'll probably get more information on that next week. Of course, the Boston Bruins now advance to the Stanley Cup Final. No surprise here. The Chariot turned back into a pumpkin for the Carolina Hurricanes. Now, that's not to say the Hurricanes didn't deserve to make it to the conference final. They did. But I think they just went up against an opponent that was just not going to be stopped. And unfortunately for Carolina, their power play went south. They couldn't get goals when they needed to. And it was just Tuukka Rask's show. He was the better goaltender, no question. I'm not sure that anybody was going to stop what Boston was about, even if the Islanders had beaten Carolina or whoever. It would have been interesting to see had the conference final been Tampa-Boston, as many people thought it should have been, considering they were the two best teams in the NHL. They would not have obviously faced in the conference final. They would have faced each other in the second round. But that would have been a little bit of an easier, more of a test, I think, for Boston, because I think the Bruins were the best, second best team. The best team was Tampa. Once Tampa was eliminated by Columbus, I thought it was a fait accompli that Boston was going to advance. They got a little bit of a test from Columbus, but Tuukka Rask ended up being the better goaltender than Bobrovsky, and then clearly Tuukka Rask was better than either Mrazek or Curtis McElhinney. So Boston, to me, is the team to beat. Now, the Sharks and the Blues are going to go at it, and it looks like they're going to go at it for a long time here, unless the Blues just do not respond after the terrible call at the end of Game 2 that cost them a game. But I do think the Blues will respond. We'll have a long series. I'm not sure either of those two teams will beat the Boston Bruins, but we'll have to just wait and see. Char did not play last night. Didn't seem to matter. He got into full uniform to celebrate with his teammates after the victory, and they did not touch the Wales Conference Trophy, which was no surprise. Boston back in the Stanley Cup Final for the first time since 2013, trying to win their first cup since the first time in 2011. So we'll take a look at that as we get closer and closer. But right now the focus is on the Sharks and the Blues. That series, even with actually the Sharks up 2-1 after what happened in Game 3 with the hand pass. And just to tell you how egregious the call ended up being, not that anybody needed any kind of explanation how egregious it was. I was at the Red and Blue Soiree last night in the Bowery in Lower Manhattan because I'm involved with the fire department, and I was an honorary trustee last night for the police and the fire, and I've gotten involved in that with me calling the fireman police game at Madison Square Garden over the last couple of years, and it's to be an honorary chairman is certainly an honor, and I got to see Mark Messier. Mark Messier was there as one of the honorary chairmen, and he said he had not seen the hand pass because he was traveling. So I punched up the video for him. And he's kind of scrambling to get his glasses because he thought he was really going to have to concentrate and focus on the video to see if it was a hand pass or not. And even with my small phone and even with him not putting on his glasses yet, his response is, oh, my God. Like, he just couldn't believe how egregious the missed call was. And we got into a discussion on how unbelievable that good referees, and he felt that John Ed and O'Rourke were good officials, that everyone could miss that. And according to the reports, and it looks like it's fact by now, that the two officials and the two linesmen will not work any more games the rest of the playoffs. Whether you want to call that a punishment or whether you want to just avoid any more controversy, because certainly the spotlight would be on both of those officials for any game that they would call individually and certainly together for the rest of the playoffs. And if anything was questionable, people would flip out. So give the National Hockey League credit. They responded to it. Obviously, you can't change the rules in the middle of the game. So I'm sure the governor's meeting during the offseason, the owners will get together, the Players Association will get together, and they will figure out a way to correct some of the egregious mistakes that have taken place in this postseason. But the one thing you can control the rest of the way is making sure that when official, or officials in this case, make an egregious mistake that can cost the team a game, they do not work another playoff game. So you will not see either linesman or either official calling any of the games remaining in this postseason. So that is it. So the remaining games of the Western Conference Final, however they may be in the Stanley Cup Final, will be absent those four officials. All right, tonight, Sharks and the Blues. And really what it comes down to me, St. Louis is home. St. Louis had that amazing second period. The mistake that they made was allowing the Couture goal at the end of the third period that forced overtime and caused all this to happen anyway. But I thought the stretches when it was important, the Blues were the better team. And I think they will even this series up tonight. And I really felt this was going to go seven, and I'm not going to be swayed by that. But the one thing you did see in Game 3, and we kind of discussed it yesterday, amidst all the controversy, was how the Sharks did respond after what I thought was a really tough Game 2 for them. They're getting beat up in this series. The Blues are playing much more physical than they had in any other playoff series during the course of this postseason, and it is meant to wear the Sharks down. That did not happen in Game 3. Joe Thornton responded. I thought the team showed strength and got stronger. Erik Karlsson with a couple of goals, so he was somebody who hadn't scored since December, and there were a lot of questions about his health going into this series. So that could be bad news for the Blues, that the Sharks are just not going away. And is there serendipity here? Because it seems like every break has gone the Sharks' way. The five-minute major against Vegas, Landeskog being offside against Colorado, what happened in Game 3 with the Blues. Is it just meant to be that the Sharks are supposed to go back to the Stanley Cup Final? Maybe that's the case if you believe in that kind of karma, but the Sharks did respond, and nothing should be taken away that the Sharks have been given anything. They've earned it. And another response here and another win in St. Louis is going to tell me that it is going to be Sharks and the Bruins. But I expect the Blues to respond. I don't think the Blues want to fall behind 3-1 against anybody. And the Blues have to play better at home. I mean, they've been under 500 at home throughout these playoffs, so they're due. So I look for the Blues to even this series up at 2, and maybe that's just my heart because I want to see a long series after the sweep in the Eastern Conference. But with Thornton playing the way he is, Karlsson playing the way he is, I think it's going to be fun. And the other aspect of this series has been the lack of really goaltending. I mean, I'm not the goaltenders have been awful, but goals have been somewhat easy to come by in this series. And when teams have needed to score, they've scored, despite the fact that neither team has been incredible on the power play. And St. Louis obviously woke up a little bit with the man advantage in Game 3, but for stretches, I think at one point there were 1-26, 1-27 between the second and third round for St. Louis, but still, goals are being scored here. Tarasenko did wake up with a goal, too, for the Blues. Let's not forget that in Game 3. So this seems to be a series that's going to be close, but some goals are going to be scored. If I'm a betting man, and I might use this on the Michael Kay Show, bet the over. I think it's 5, 5.5. That's probably an easy bet because the goals are aplenty in this series, and both goaltenders have given up some goals that maybe they'd like to have back. Although at times they have played well, this has not been a goaltender series per se. Who's the better offense? Who's going to get the last goal type of series? And obviously it was the Sharks in Game 3. We'll see what will happen tonight in Game 4 at 8 o'clock. All right, let's hear from you at Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct. And a great question from Forever TH. Who's your Mount Rushmore of NHL announcers all time? Well, I have to come up with four. It's hard not to have Doc Emmerich at number one. I would think Doc would have to be on the Mount Rushmore. And I've always been a fan of Bob Cole. He called his last game for Hockey Night in Canada, CBC, this past regular season. I always considered him a mentor, somebody that I've always able to talk to on the road, have on my NHL Live show, the voice of Hockey Night in Canada for years throughout the 80s and the 90s before Jim Houston came in. And he has done an incredible job since replacing Bob Cole. And Bob and Harry Neal were an institution for a long time calling Hockey Night in Canada games. And growing up in the States, we didn't have access to Hockey Night in Canada. But what I always tried to do is try to get tapes of old games that he called. And, you know, when the Devils won the Cup in 95, I tried to find the CBC call of that, and I was able to find it and get it on VHS. So even though not until I started working games for the Rangers and traveling up to Canada was I able to see a lot of live games from Bob Cole, but growing up I was able to get a lot of VHS tapes of his calls and his work with Harry Neal, and I get to see Harry all the time when I'm in Buffalo calling a Ranger game because he's still – hangs around the Sabres and still lives up there in the Buffalo area. So I would have to have Bob Cole up there. This one is a blast from the past, but I think anybody who's grown up in the United States and will remember when ABC had the hockey contract, Gary Thorne. I think he's a very underrated hockey announcer. Gary, of course, works the Baltimore Oriole games, and he used to do White Sox games, and he's a great baseball announcer, did the Mets back in the day. Did the Devils for a long time. That's when I was first introduced to him. And then he went on to ABC, and some of the great championship calls that we saw when Fox lost the contract in the mid to late 90s, and it was taken over by ABC and ESPN, Gary Thorne making those calls. And Gary working with Bill Clement, that was a tremendous team. If you remember ESPN and ABC days going back, you know, 15 years ago, that was a tremendous team here in the United States. So I'd have to put Gary Thorne on that list. And when you think nationally, there's so many other guys, and I'm kind of hesitant to pick a favorite because there are so many great announcers working with Sam Rosen with the New York Rangers. And I think we have excellent announcers here in the New York area. There's so many good announcers around the league that I run into. A very underrated guy, and he got a lot of exposure during those cup runs for the Chicago Blackhawks, is John Weidman. I think pound for pound, he's one of the best that I've ever heard. He's also a very good friend, a great X's and O's announcer, knows exactly when to get excited and fired up. And he was on top of that call when they won in 2010 against the Philadelphia Flyers, when nobody in the building, including myself, that was at the building in Philadelphia at the time, knew that Patrick Kane goal went in. But he did, a flawless call. John Weidman did the Flyers back in the day, did the Islanders. That's when I first got a chance to meet him because they were the first national, they were the first team that we actually had a relationship with here on ESPN Radio. And John did games with Chris King and now moved on to the Chicago Blackhawks. Excellent announcer. Kenny Albert, obviously, not just with the Rangers, but everything he does around the National Hockey League as well. So I'm going to leave that third spot open because there's just so many guys that I really can't come up with a fourth guy. Jim Houston, of course, great job for Hockey Night in Canada, now filling in or replacing Bob Cole. So many great announcers, so many. You can go Foster Hewitt back in the day, which is obviously before my time, but he was like the founder, how it all got started. So I'll go with those three for now of Gary Thorne, Mike Doc Emmerich, and of course looking at the grand scope of announcing Gary Thorne and Bob Cole. And Mike Emmerich would be the three that I would probably have to put up there. Jake Cole says, Tuukka Rask in elimination games these playoffs. He's 4-0 with a .975 save percentage and a .075 goal against average. He's been straight money. He really has been. And I think on the west side, it's Logan Couture that's the favorite to win the Conn Smythe with his 14 goals that lead the NHL. And I think Tuukka Rask by far would be the east guy. I think those would be the two candidates for sure. Ronnie L says, hi, Don. With all this replay talk and missed calls, any chance of a retired official like Kerry Frazier coming on Game Misconduct? Love to get his take on the NHL and this. He'd be a perfect guest and the perfect hair, of course, of all time. Thanks. You know, if you can follow Kerry Frazier on Twitter, he always seems to respond and have a call on what's going on. He always gives a great perspective. I'd love to be able to get him on for sure. Paul Stewart's another guy that's very opinionated, so I'll try to do that. I think that's a really good suggestion by you, because I think getting former officials on to talk about this are great. Plus, any of the old school guys, if you remember, like Kerry Frazier, of course, he was involved in the controversy between the Leafs and the Kings back in the 93 conference final on that high sticking missed call back in that game. I believe it was game five, maybe game four. I'd have to look back and think between the Kings and the Maple Leafs. It certainly cost the Maple Leafs a chance to go to the Stanley Cup final. He was working by himself. I mean, this was pre two referees and two linesmen when there was only one set of eyes that can make the call. So I'm sure they would have some great stories to talk about. Chicken McDougal says, hi, Don, longtime listener, first-time tweeter. Maybe my knowledge of the rule is rusty, but I always thought that the batting the puck was legal. Meyer never closed his hand on the puck. Why should it have been a hand pass? Love the show. Keep it up. Well, anything in the offensive zone in which you bat the puck with your hand to create an advantage would be called a hand pass. If it's directed towards the net and goes in, the goal is waved off. If you bat it to yourself and you're the first to touch it after you bat it, then that would be waved off. So it's not really a delay of game closing the puck. If you bat the puck to another player, that's gaining an advantage. That player is the first to touch it after it was batted out of the air. That would be deemed a hand pass. And clearly Meyer deflected the puck off of his hand towards Nyquist. Nyquist got it to Carlson. Carlson finished it for the goal. So clearly that was the right call to say that it was a hand pass. They just missed it. I mean, let's not doctor this up as they saw it and said that it wasn't a hand pass, or they looked at it and thought it missed his hand, or they thought that he batted it out of the air and deflected off of his stick and that's why they didn't whistle. They missed the call. They did not see it. Period. So let's not pretend that they saw something differently than everybody else did. They missed it. The league admitted they missed it. They've been taken off of any other playoff games because they missed it. It happens. And to me, that's more forgivable than seeing something that didn't happen, right? Where you called a trip that didn't happen. If you called a hand pass that didn't happen, why are you seeing something that didn't happen? It's more believable that you wouldn't see something that actually happened. It's a very fast game. But we'll talk about it a lot during the offseason. Believe me, the NHL has gotten so much negative attention because of this. They will do something about it during the course of the offseason. It will be corrected. There's no question that it will be corrected. Whether you're going to be satisfied with that correction or not, hey, that's in the eye of the beholder. Believe me, I'm sure we'll get some complaining during the regular season next year. I can't believe there's so many replays. I can't believe how long the game is going. I can't believe that the momentum of my team was taken away because there was a review. Fans love to complain, I get it. But on this particular subject, on this particular play, it's a non-judgment call. It was missed. We've got the technology. Let's fix it, especially when it leads to a goal directly, and that's what happened on that play. All right, we got a big weekend. We have game four tonight and game five coming up on Sunday. So if we see the Sharks win the next two, when I rejoin you on Monday, we could have a Stanley Cup final preview. I suspect the Blues are still alive and we will still have more of the Western Conference. But Monday means EJ Raddick from the NHL Network, so we'll talk to him coming up on Monday. Any questions, comments, frustrations, you always get in touch with me on the weekend at Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct. Looking forward to talking to you again on Monday. This was the Friday edition of Game Misconduct.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.